Wow, that's pretty. Wasn't that pretty? Yeah. I just did someday. I didn't know what part I was supposed to be saying. I just kept saying someday, someday. That's the easy part. If you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you experience a New Testament pattern of worship, where the Christians worshiped in the New Testament, and they did that by singing. They sing. They didn't have instrumental music. They sung songs, spiritual songs. They made melody in their hearts to the Lord. It was individual worship. They sing. They prayed. They took communion. They gave. They didn't tithe. They gave the collection. The collection was given cheerfully, and that's why we send the plate around once, so you could give cheerfully. For God loves a cheerful giver. This is not about making money. It's about trying to get to heaven. Amen? But you are supposed to give right. And so now we're getting to the preach part of the sermon. The message, the worship is hearing the preached word. And that's my job, is to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I'm charged to preach the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the listening audience. They are to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins upon believing that. Then the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. Amen. And that's what we believe in, the churches of Christ. And we hold true to that doctrine, and we're going to stay right there until the Lord calls us home. Amen.
Amen.
That's where we are. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2 on this morning. Galatians chapter 2. I do not frustrate the grace of God. We'll start at verse 11. We'll pick up from last week, the time I preached before week. Verse number 11 said, but when Peter was come to Antioch,
I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed.
Now Paul said Peter came to Antioch. He is either two apostles. And so Paul approaches Peter and withstood him to his face because he was to blame. Let's see, what did he do? For before
that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles.
He ate with the Gentiles. He was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. But when James and his crew of Jews come, then Peter seen the Jews coming with James, and he was eating with the Gentiles. And then when he seen the Jews coming, he withdrew and separated himself from the Gentiles, fearing that of them of the Jews. And so here is the problem: is Peter was eating with the so-called Gentiles, unclean, or those who were not of the Jewish faith. Then when the Jews showed up, he stopped eating with them. And Paul is saying, "Hey, that's a problem." Because he was then having a respect to person. So he was kind of like what we see today, we've known what we call racism. He looked at the Gentiles as someone he shouldn't be assembling with and fellowshipping with. And so, and the other Jews, verse 13,
and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him.
So there was other people who saw that as well. So here, what you got is that in the first century, you had Jews and Gentiles both being baptized for the remission of their sins, and being they're all now called Christians. However, it's kind of like during the time when blacks and whites were segregated, and then all of a sudden this Jesus Christ comes in and say, y'all got to go to the same building and eat at it. Remember when they said blacks can't drink from the fountain? So this is Peter's kind of like, I remember when we couldn't drink from the same fountain, but all of a sudden the law has changed and we all got to eat and drink from the same fountain. And so he's drinking with them from the same water fountain. Y'all with me right now, aren't you?
Amen.
And so he's drinking with, and then some other blacks walk up and he stopped eating. He dropped drinking out of the same fountain. Whites walk up. He stopped drinking out of the same fountain with the black folks. Mm-hmm. So that's what Peter's doing. But he's wrong. See, racism was wrong then, and racism is wrong now.
Amen.
It's still wrong. Amen. It's wrong to be a black racist. It's wrong to be a white racist. And get Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. We'll show you why that's the problem. And this is what's going on today in the world we live in. There's certainly racism is prevalent. It's in religious organizations and everywhere, man. That's why you got Southern Baptists versus another type Baptist. You have on Sundays, the most segregated day in the world. Look at us. It's primarily African American because that's culture related. Amen. It's not racism related. That's culture related. Now, there's a culture difference between the white congregation and the black congregation and churches of Christ. We all teaching the same thing, but it's not based on our skin color. But say we'll say amen, and they won't say anything. Amen. So if I go preach at a white congregation, they're going to be very quiet. You come over here, we're very loud. We're more expressive. Amen. That's cultural difference. That's not racism. There's cultural differences. Amen. So I got a white brother that's a friend of mine in minister, and we used to swap pulpits. I said, what we're going to do is when you come to hear us, tell your folk to bring some earplugs. You're not used to loud preaching. And so when I go to your place, all my people going to bring some Red Bulls. Because you're going to put us to sleep. It was funny. I mean, he understood the humor of it. It's just we understood culture differently. However, whatever he preached and what I preached was the same thing.
Amen.
So here is Peter having a problem mingling with the Gentiles, and Paul withstood him to his face and said, that is wrong what you're doing. Which tells me if Brother Stroud say something wrong, then I got to stand against him. We may be the same minister, but if he start preaching false doctrine, I'm going to withstand him to his face. And I expect him to withstand me. Amen. Yeah, that's what we do. We stand with God. We don't stand with the man. We stand with God. Amen. And when you're trying to get to heaven, you don't want to select the congregation or the church you're going to worship at based on the man in the pulpit. You want to select it based on what the man is hanging his hat on. And that preached a sermon yesterday when our sister, dear sister, passed here, and she wore a hat, Sister Gloria Moore. And I preached a sermon based on, I always select my sermon for funerals. I don't write sermons for funerals. I select it based on the individual, the person who's deceased, and use that as a means of reeling the family in. And so to teach to them that we can share the truth in love. And so we share the truth. But one of the points I was making with it, she hung her hat on the truth. And she might have been a hat-wearing woman, but she hung her hat on the fact that this book was right. Amen. That's how she became a member of the Church of Christ. That's how she got baptized. That's why she got baptized for remission of sin. That's why she took the Lord's Supper every Sunday. That's why she came here every Sunday. And I was using her as an example of a faithful member of the Lord's church who didn't miss worship services. Because she hung her hat on the facts that this book was true. And she believed you forsake not the assembling of yourself together. That's what she believed. That's what Sister Gloria Moore sure did. That's why I remember her by them hats. She sat right over there. And she walked out and said, every Sunday she peeked at me had that hat on. I remember that. Amen. How many of y'all remember her?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, so church, highlight, let me see. We should not be racist at all. Zero. Zero tolerance from God for us to look at any man, woman, boy, or girl based on the color of their skin as inferior to us.
Amen.
Or neither should we look at anyone else as we're inferior to them.
Amen.
Because we are God's children.
Amen.
Amen. That's what makes us different. We are the children of God. In Acts 17:24, here's what the Bible says. God made the world. And all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Yeah, read.
Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Now, watch, here's the point. Here's what you want to underline right here. And have made of
one blood.
Of what?
One blood.
Now, I tell you what. If you take a Gentile and cut his arm, and a Jew had cut his arm, both of them bleed red blood. See the point? God is saying, look here, he made man not of one color, but of one what?
Blood.
He made him of one blood of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth and had determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. that they should seek the Lord, for if haply they have feel after him,
and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.
For in him
we live,
move, and have our very being. Who is this he's talking about? White folk, black folk, or all folk? All folk. Anyone who got blood in their vein. We live and move and have our very being because of him. Now, Paul stood against Peter, and we must take a stand today. I'm going to say something to you all, that we care about souls. All souls matter. Amen. This idea of Black Lives Matter is racism to the core. We are not to engage in such activities or support such rhetoric. We are not to be a part of such movements as that. We move with all souls matter.
Amen.
We're not black Hebrew Israelites. We are Christians. That's a racist group that only focuses on the color of the skin as the choice of God's people.
Amen.
God's people have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
That means the Creator created the creature, and every creature has a right to be saved regardless of nationality, regardless of color, regardless of skin color, regardless of what nation they came from. For Jesus commanded in the Great Commission in Matthew 20:18, go teach all nations.
Amen.
That's a commandment from the one who hung on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And I know some of us have racist tendencies. Yes, we do. I've seen it, I've heard it, I listen to people. But I hope you don't believe you can go to heaven like that. Need to zero that out of your mind.
Amen.
And think in terms of how God saved you, gave you a second chance, forgot your past. I want to talk about this afternoon. Some of us cannot forgive others because we don't treasure and value what God has done for us. Ain't none of us can look in our past and not see wrong. We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
No one should feel uncomfortable coming in among us because they've fallen. Every member of this congregation should feel very comfortable coming back home. And when they come back, we will embrace them with love because we too have fallen.
Amen.
Let me just say something to all of us who think we're there already. Let him that stand, take heed, lest you fall.
Amen.
Amen. Don't get so high that your fall is going to be great. If you stay low, just stay low. Always stay low. You ain't got far to fall.
Amen.
What are you trying to say, Brother Brooks? I want this church to understand we are a loving congregation. We don't look at folk by what clothes they got on or how they look in their colors. And we don't look down on folk when they come in here off the street.
Amen.
Amen. Moses was a murderer. Rahab was a prostitute. Peter cut folk ears off. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Jonah was on the run. He's a fugitive. Amen. God forgave him. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Yet the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody, I'm glad I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I'm thankful to be a Christian. I ain't been all of that in a bag of chips. I'm still not that good yet. Amen. But I guarantee you one thing, I ain't gonna lie to myself.
Amen.
Like I'm all that. I'm not gonna lie to God, because he already know I ain't all that. And I sure ain't gonna lie to you. I come to this place every week. And I drink the blood because I know I'm not perfect. And I drink ye all of it. I try not to leave none of it in the cup.
Amen.
Ain't that what the Lord said? He said, drink ye all of it. Amen. I want every bit of that blood. Amen, somebody. I know I need it. How about y'all? How many of y'all need the blood?
Amen.
Yeah, you need the blood. You need the blood. You need the blood. And so when you start looking at salvation, you look at the fact that God, we can frustrate the grace of God. And that's the name of the sermon. Do not frustrate the grace of God. I'll explain that a little more later. But when I saw, Paul said, when I saw, verse 14, when I saw that they walked not uprightly
according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?
You know, some people want to get on the fence. You know, you want to straddle the fence. You want to be a little bit of black and a little bit of white. You know, you want to straddle the fence, or you want to be a little bit of Jew, a little bit of Gentile, or be a little God and a little devil. Let's do it like that. That's really what you're doing. See, and that's what folk doing. And that's what I'm going to say about your preachers. So you, when you start looking at, and it's coming to light now. Some of the things I've been preaching about in national lectureships and speaking up, Brother Brooks has been one of the more vocal ones, and you know it's kind of people kind of pulling away because I've been holding my position on true worship. I've been doing this nationally, and I don't know how much y'all know about what's been going on, but following this and people been saying this beatboxing and all this stuff that's been coming into work, Brother Brooks has been taking a stand on it, and some of the very men who taught me early in my ministry are on the fence. They've been trying to make sure it's okay on both sides. We can do a little beatboxing and we still are right there, and we can be worshiped like Brother Brooks and them. We still are right there, and so they ride in the middle. So Brother Brooks ain't never been in no middle. I ain't on no middle. I don't ride nobody's fence. Either it's right or it's wrong.
Amen.
I ride the Bible. I'm gonna stay with the book. Amen. Here we are years later. Years later, it's coming out now. Some of the big preachers in the brotherhood are speaking against some of the things I spoke against 5-10 years ago. I've been speaking against. I've been holding my position. Many congregations in this Houston area have moved to beatbox, and I told them. I told them a long time ago. I said, this stuff is going to divide us. This stuff is going to take us somewhere we ain't ready to go. Brother Brooks is one of the ones speaking up on this stuff. I told him, Dougie Fresh, if Dougie Fresh originated beatboxing, then you know God didn't have nothing to do with beatboxing. So how did that stuff end up in New Testament worship? Now they're trying to bring in instrumental music into New Testament worship. So now we got our big preachers preaching against that stuff. Now they're starting to speak against it. But I never was on the fence. See, when you're on the fence, you're going along with right and wrong. Amen. You can't be straddling no fence. You got to stand with either the Bible is right or it's not. Either the Church of Christ is true or not. I'm not going to preach any other church because it's right.
Amen.
You don't have to get in the middle. Stay with God. If you stay with God, you're going to be all right. God will never lead you wrong, but man will.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Brooks? See, Peter trying to straddle a fence. He wanted to be a little boat, but you got Peter. You cannot do that because God has sent his son to die for Jew and Gentile. That's what he's saying. And so I'm saying to us, and some of you, you may want to, you know, visit around and you think it's okay to what they're doing and what we're doing. And what you going to hang your hat on? That's my question. If the Bible is right, and I say this to our visitors, would you visit with us? When you start looking for a church, you want to look for it based on what the teaching is in the church building.
Amen.
I don't know if you're looking for a church if you visit with us, but if you are, in my position is that this book got to be right. It's got to be.
Amen.
And if it's right, then all of it is right.
Amen.
If anything is wrong, then all of it is wrong in my mind.
That's right.
How can you say there's the truth and then there's some error in it? It's all truth or no truth.
Amen.
I mean, either there's a heaven for real or there's no heaven. Either there's a hell or there's no hell. Either there's a Jesus or there's no. I seen none of that. I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see heaven. I didn't see hell. And so I'm hanging my hat on everything in this book is right. If I die in my sins, I'm going to hell. That's what I believe.
Amen.
I believe if I don't die in my sins, I'm going to heaven. That's what I believe. And I believe a person got to be baptized and is commanded to be saved.
Amen.
Because that's what the Bible says. Anything other than that, we're frustrating the grace of God. Paul stood. How many of you go take your stand on what's right? I'm going to tell you, the beginning of taking a stand is getting baptized. If you believe your life could end today, take a stand on the truth and be baptized then. That'll call you. That'll take your position. Take your position and hold it. I took it 34 years ago, holding my position still. Because this hasn't changed. I'll change when this changes. So I ain't got to worry about changing, do I?
Amen.
Because this is not going to change. It's going to always say Church of Christ.
Amen.
It's going to say always say, this you do in remembrance of me. It's going to always say, on the first day that we disciples came together to break bread. It's going to always say, Jesus said, I will be on my church. It's going to always say, baptism saved. It ain't going to never say, praying sinner's prayer saved. It ain't going to never say, call a man reverend. It's never going to say, call a man father. It's never going to say, Baptist church. It's never going to say, Methodist church. It's never going to say, Catholic church. It's never going to say, Pentecostal church. It's never going to do it, so I ain't never got to do it.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Stand. Don't get off the fence.
Amen.
If you're trying to go to heaven. And then those of us who are members of the Church of Christ, you understand, get off the fence and act like you can just do what you want to do and still go to heaven. You can't. You got to live right. You got to confess your faults when you fall. You got to repent when you need to repent. God is not willing that we perish, but he commands all to repent. We have to repent. If we're wrong, we're wrong. That's what God, it's not that God don't know you're wrong. He wants you to admit you're wrong. And then don't do it no more. Ain't no sense in walking with yourself and I brush it out, I repent and then go back and do the same thing. You're lying. Quit lying and repent. That's what you do. Get off the fence. Try to act like you saved when you're not saved. What you doing praying when you're in sin? Don't pray. Get off the fence. Believe it. Believe God here, not a sinner. And get out your sin. Don't want to, I'll leave prayer. You ain't sin, brother. How you going to leave prayer? We know you ain't even been coming to church. Y'all didn't, yeah. You know, I need to, I think this is a good place for me to say this. Somebody said to me, we don't feel like I have a ministry. I said, you didn't. It was right true. Last year, January, I had surgery, took me out. My wife went to the hospital 12 times, emergency room at least 10. I was in the hospital room with her all year long, and then she passed. You didn't have a minister. I wasn't here for you. I was taking care of my wife, which I should have done. I would have been criticized if I hadn't. But here's the good news. You were for me then. You were here for me. Well, I always got to be here for you. You were here for me. That's what families do. I mean, her had a conversation. She said, that's what families do. Exactly. You were here for me. Because you wasn't on no fence. You wasn't looking at the man. You saw a brother who was hurting.
Amen.
And I haven't been here. Not that I've been traveling and gone. I just haven't been able to focus very well. Because after November 8, I went into the dark room of grief. And guess what? You were here with me. You went through it with me.
Amen.
And that's my blessing. You my blessing. Just like I bless you, you bless me.
Amen.
We need each other from the pulpit to the back door. The janitor should get as much love as I get. And I should get as much love as the janitor get. Why? Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and God has no respecter of person.
Amen.
The third thing is that I got a leadership that loved me. Because they didn't ditch me. They didn't kick me out. They didn't threaten me. They just said, Brother Brooks, we're with you all the way.
Amen.
Boy, I thank God for that. I count my blessings. Why am I saying this here? Because when you take a stand, people love you for standing with truth. I know why I'm still here.
Amen.
And you do what's right. And you know God's going to bless you.
Amen.
See, so Paul had to take this stand. And Brother Brooks will take a stand And I know this congregation is going to stand with me as long as it's right. Amen. You do not stand with me if I'm wrong. Amen. That makes you wrong. Am I keeping it real or not?
Amen.
Absolutely. 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 I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. I know where my salvation came from. It's not because we're so good, y'all. The reason why we are saved because of the grace of God. Ain't none of us that good. And look at this. And he said, Paul said, we who are Jews by
nature and not sinners of the Gentiles.
They looked at the Gentiles like lowly sinners. He said, but we were born Jews. He was telling Peter. Now he's talking to Peter. Meaning, we born Jews, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed
in Jesus Christ.
He said, brother, we had to believe in Jesus to be saved like them. And we might be justified or declared not guilty. Not by works, not by something we done on our own. But for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. See, Paul and Peter both know that no man, no Jew or Gentile could be justified under that Old Testament law. That Old Testament law, that's what he's talking about. And I'm not honing in on that so much as I am us being who we are and who we are, knowing who we are as Christians in a world of secularism and racism and all these other isms. That we got to know who we are when we walk out of here and go to the world. When we face the world, we are Christians. Amen. We represent Christ and his church. And so he said, we're not justified by law. He said, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. If therefore Christ the minister of sin, Paul said, God forbid. Paul said, if we say that we're saved by obeying Christ and Gentiles must obey another law, then he said that made Christ promoting sin, minister or promotion of sin. He said, God forbid, that's not the right message. That's not the right. You're not sending the folk the right message when you're doing things out there that are not according to the law, that are not according to the scripture. And he said, and I'm just honing in on this, all of us are representing Christ, and we live under a new law. And the Jews and Gentiles, the Gentiles are all under this same new law now. This new law do not require Old Testament type actions or Old Testament law. And get that board up for me there. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about briefly here. So that I can just, I got my little board working. Let's see how it does. Let's see if I can get this thing working again. Trying to get back to using it. But so there's a difference between the Old Testament law and the New Testament law. So here's Jesus on the cross. Yeah. Jesus on the cross. So when he dies on the cross, this old law, there was no baptism required. Y'all understand that? New law, you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, Old Testament, I want the Old Testament. Well, on the Old Testament, there was no blood. Jesus hadn't shed his blood. So no baptism was required there. But you also have to sacrifice bulls and goats, animal sacrifice. You want that? What about instrumental music? You want that? You got to go over there to get that. Okay, thank you. Communion, Lord's Supper over here. No Lord's Supper over there. So what happened when you look at Jesus, he shed his blood on the cross, and that blood then stops this new law, and he brings in this new one. Now, in the middle of them, brought in Jew and Gentile into one church. So they're all in one church, and both of them now follow the new law. So Peter was trying to get them to stay under the old law. He would baptize them under the new law, but then he had them doing things under the old law, and Paul had to go and say, hey, that's not the way it is. You can't have both. Either you're under the old law or you're under the new law. Amen. If you want choirs and guitars and get fillers, then get your bulls and goats. But if you want to be a Christian, you got to go under the new law, because under this law, there were no Christians. There were no Christians over there. Christians are over here.
Amen.
They worship on the seventh day over here. We worship on the first day. That's Sunday.
Amen.
There's a big difference. When you start looking at being saved, you got to go under the grace of God. The grace of God that brought salvation came when Jesus hung on the cross. Amen. So there's a similarity. Under here they had circumcision. They had to be circumcised. Under this law they had to be circumcised. Physical circumcision. There's a circumcision over here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. But there's a circumcision over here, but it's not the same one. Listen to the Bible. Colossians 2:11.
In whom also ye are circumcised.
Yeah.
With the circumcision made without
hand. A circumcision without hand. Now, today if you circumcise your little boy, the doctor have to use their hand. But there's a circumcision under the New Testament that without hand. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him.
In baptism.
There it is. The circumcision takes place where? In baptism. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God.
Who hath raised him from the dead.
Yeah. Who hath raised him from the dead. So baptism is a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Under the water, you contact the blood of Jesus. The same blood that was shed on the cross. Now, under the water is where God does the operation. He cut off the sins of the flesh. Under the water is where your sins are forgiven. So there's a surgical circumcision taking place. That this circumcision was under old law, but this circumcision under new law is called baptism. Do that make sense?
Amen.
Yes. There's blood involved in a circumcision. And there's blood involved in your circumcision, but it's the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And that blood is washing away your sin. That's why baptism is essential. Revelation 1 and verse 5. What the Bible says there, Revelation 1 and verse 5.
And from Jesus
Christ, who was a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead.
Prince of the kings of the earth,
unto him that loved us,
washed us from our sins
in his own blood. So is there a circumcision under the old law? Absolutely. Is there a circumcision under the new law? Yes. Is it physical or spiritual? It's spiritual.
Amen.
And the spiritual circumcision is called baptism. Now, if you have not been baptized, listen carefully, you're not saved. Somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, I was baptized, but you said there was only one church. Well, get 1 Corinthians 12:12. I'm going to show you that just because you were baptized before don't mean you saved. Listen to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verses number 12, briefly.
For the body is one, and has many members.
Many members.
And all the members of that one body,
being many,
are one body. So also is Christ.
Read, verse 13.
For by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body?
Now he said we are baptized into one body. We're baptized into one body. So when a person comes up out of baptism, then the Lord adds them to the one body, which is the church. So the Lord has added that same when that person who's been circumcised to the church. Now when they're added to the church, that's the body. For the body is the church. Now he said by one Spirit, are we all baptized into
one body,
one church? So if you didn't have the one baptism, then you're not in the one church, you didn't get the one baptism. Go to Acts 19. Let me show you another way to look at it. In Acts 19, folk had been baptized before, but they weren't saved. Listen, Acts 19, start at verse 1.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples.
Right, read.
He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Yeah, read. Now,
and
he
they said
them,
unto him,
have you received the Holy Ghost since you what?
Believe.
Since you believe. He said unto them what?
We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
We've not even heard where there be a Holy Ghost. See, so if you've never heard about the one church, about the Lord's Supper, about the Church of Christ, you never heard of the things I taught you this morning, there's some things you wasn't taught right. You should have been taught this stuff. Read.
And he said unto them.
He said unto them.
Unto what then were you baptized?
If you weren't told that baptism is for the remission of sin, you get washed in the blood, then why did you get baptized? Or if you were told you were saved by accept Jesus, your personal Savior, and when we get a lot of people, we're going to baptize all y'all at one time. If you were told that, that's why you got baptized? Paul said, he asked him, what then did you get baptized if you weren't taught properly? What did he say?
And they said,
to them,
unto John's baptism.
We got baptized according to John's baptism. John's baptism was of the Old Testament. Read.
Then said Paul.
Paul.
John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him.
Read.
That is, on Christ Jesus.
Read.
When they heard
now, when you believe on Christ Jesus, you do what Christ said do to be saved. Read.
When they heard this,
when they heard what? When they heard what they weren't taught according to what Jesus said, they were taught according to what John the Baptist said. He said this.
They were baptized.
That's
in the
baptism
name.
Number two. They had already had one baptism, and then Paul goes to him and said, why did y'all get baptized under that teaching? He said, well, that's what they told us. He said, well, then, that's not what Jesus said, dude. He said, when they heard this, they were baptized again. Amen. So, Jeff, I'm laying, this is to visitors. This is to those who are not members of the church. I'm talking directly to you. Just because you were baptized don't mean you obeyed the truth.
Amen.
I got baptized when I was 11. Not because I believed Jesus Christ was Son of God. Not because I knew anything about the Bible. Not because I knew anything other than mama and them said, it was time to do it. That was for mama. That wasn't for me. Hmm. At the age of 24, I did it when I understood what I was doing. Amen. And I understood the truth. So if you got to get baptized 10 times, You got baptized, you got wet 9 times, and 1 time you got saved. Rest of the time you just got wet.
Amen.
Just got wet, that's all. Went down a sinner, came up a sinner.
Amen.
But when you obey the gospel, truth, sin separates you from God. And when you obey the truth, you and God come together in baptism. And so what happens in baptism, there's a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And under the water, you contact the blood of Jesus. And under the water, when you contact the blood of Jesus, then the blood of Jesus washes away your sin. And when the blood of Jesus washes away your sin, then you got a connection with God, and you can pray to him. Now, you don't have to go to no more classes to be saved. All you got to do is believe. If you don't believe it, this book's no good to you.
Amen.
It's no good to you. Just die and see what happened. That's the only other option. But if we're going to go to heaven, we got to go back to the Bible.
Amen.
And believe it like it said. Let's go back and close. It's time to close. I said enough. Let's close this out. Go back to Galatians 2. I'm using my board a little more. I'll try to help y'all out. Is that helpful?
Amen.
It is? Okay, good. But let's go to verse 18, 19, and 20, and 21. We'll finish right there. 21.
For if I build again the things which
I
destroy,
I make myself
a transgressor.
For though the law,
For through the law, am dead to the law,
uh-huh.
that I might live unto God.
Yeah, real.
I am crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I live.
Yeah.
Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me,
uh-huh.
and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son
of God,
who loved me and gave himself for me.
Read on.
I do not frustrate the grace of God.
That is right there. See, Paul said, I do not frustrate, nullify, set aside, disregard the grace of God. For if righteousness came by
the law, then Christ is dead.
But he said, if I got to go back to the old law, Christ died for nothing.
Amen.
Don't frustrate the grace of God, y'all. We under the new law. God gave his son. His son gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And what he said, I do not frustrate that grace. For Titus 2:11 said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. Teaching us to deny ungodly and worldly lust that we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. So the grace of God hung on the cross. It was Jesus on the cross who gave us this hope. How many of y'all believe in Jesus? Y'all believe he hung, bled, and died on Calvary's hill? That's the beginning of faith. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was God. If you can't get past Genesis 1:1, then the rest of the Bible ain't going to mean nothing to you. But if you get past Genesis 1:1, then you'll believe in a God who sent his son. You'll believe in a son who hung on the cross. You never saw it with your eye. You'll believe he hung 6 hours on that cross. He suffered. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was slapped. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He shed his blood on that cross. You'll believe that with all of your heart. You'll repent of your sins, and you'll confess him to be the Son of God, and you'll be washed in his blood because he commanded it, and you believe everything he said. If you believe everything he said to me, the preacher, go preach
To every creature, he that believeth and he baptized shall be saved. I'm the priest of the gospel. You are to believe it and you are to be baptized. And then the Lord will wash away your sins under the water in baptism. Then the Lord will add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Amen. And that's where the saved are. Acts 2:47 said, praise God, have faith with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be. So what? Let me slow it down. Visitors, if you want to be saved, you come down here today, I'm going to ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. You walk down here, I'm going to ask you that question. You say, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. We're going to take you immediately and wash you in the blood.
Amen.
You're going to step in that water believing Christ is in there. You believe in your old man is going to be crucified with Christ, as Paul said. You believe that sin is going to be washed away. And everything you ever done, you came in here with, you leave clean.
Amen.
Amen. I just throw the gospel hook out there. You got a hook. We throw you in the water. Jesus will clean you up, send you on your way. And then you believe that, and the Lord then would add you to the church. You stay here with us, and you experience what I experience. People love you when you're going through some tough times. People be behind you. You have a family, a spiritual family. Somebody that will love you regardless of what you're going through.
Amen.
They're going to be there for you through the thick and thin. That's what we are. We are God's family. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. And then there are days when we talk about how it's going to be when the saved get to heaven. As God's family. But I know this, God is knocking on the door of those who are members of this church. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you need to come home, you just come right on back home. We're gonna love you just like nothing ever happened. You come back home repenting, and God will forgive you for everything you ever done. If you're here today and you had a hard time, you've been going through some things, and you need us to pray with you, you come on down here and let us pray with you. God, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, the ears are open to their prayer. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. We will pray with you, my brother and my friend. You don't look down on yourself because you fail. You don't look down on yourself because you're going through things. We're all going through things in this life, but we serve a good God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. We serve a gracious God. We serve a merciful God. And I'm glad I'm a member of the Lord's church. Amen. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to straddle no fence. I'm taking my position that if we do what God say do, when Brother Brooks' head pressed the dying pillow, when my eyes are closed for the last time, my tongue have been silenced by death, I believe I'm going to rise away to see a Savior's face and hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. If you believe like me, if you're trying to get to heaven, you know, somebody knocks on our door at our door and say, I'm coming to rescue you. Would you answer the door yes or no? You would answer no. God knocks on our doors all the time, y'all. He said, I'm trying to rescue you. I'm trying to come in. All you do, open the door. I'm going to come in and sup with you and you and me. Wouldn't you come? Wouldn't you come? We want you to come. Those who need to be baptized, come. Those who need prayer, come. Those who want to repent, come. Those who want to confess your fault, you come to the front. We're going to do this as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Don't wait. Just come. Just come as you think about it.